Welcome to the Unsweetened SIO podcast. My name is Siobhan Harris. I am a certified integrative nutrition health coach and the founder of unsweetenedsio.com. I gave up all sugar and all flour on January 13th, 2018, and am finally free of my addiction. My mission is to help other sugar addicts find their path to freedom and live the sweet life without sugar. Hi everyone, it's Siobhan. Just wanted to update you all in case you have not heard, I decided to add another breaking free group coaching program for sugar addiction and recovery. It's 10 weeks long and I'm going to be offering that in April. For anyone that's interested, please email me at Siobhan@unsweetenedsio.com. My March class did fill up and I had a few people were interested and I thought, well, maybe I can do another one in April if I have enough people that want to sign up. So if this resonates with you, maybe you had thought about it in March and didn't sign up, we're doing another one starting in April. 10 weeks long. It includes the weekly Zoom calls that are recorded if you can't make it live, accountability buddies for daily support. Everyone gets a 45-minute one-on-one coaching session with me, which includes emotion code. And there's weekly discussion topics, homework, tools, tips, resources, community, accountability, all the things. So if you are interested, again, please email me at Siobhan@unsweetenedsio.com. You can also go to my website and look at the group coaching for a little bit more information. Thanks so much. Hi, everyone. Welcome to episode 135 of Unsweetened SIO, the podcast. Really excited to have today's guest with me, Adae Fox. And 7 years ago, she turned her life around with a ketogenic carnivore diet, decades of compulsive consumption of refined carbs and junk food led to obesity, joint pain, rising blood pressure and blood sugar, plus out of control asthma, allergies and eczema. Now at 50, she has reversed all those conditions, has tons of energy, lost 80 pounds, and most importantly, has a healthy way of eating that is sustainable for a lifetime. Nowadays is on a mission to help others lose weight, end chronic pain and inflammation, reverse disease, and get off medications. I love this so much. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to get to talk to you about this today.
Me too. As I was telling her before we started recording, we were talking about, I've actually had quite a few people reach out to me asking for someone to talk more about the carnivore diet. So I'm really glad that we were able to do this and can't wait to hear your story. But I just have to say, you know, reading your intro, I love, like, my favorite part is when you said most importantly has a healthy way of eating that is sustainable for a lifetime. I'm just like nodding my head like, yes, that is what's so powerful. And what most people, you know, when you are caught in that cycle of like diet binge and the sugar addiction, it's so hard to ever imagine, you know, we've been on all of us so many different diets, so many different things. And to think that something's sustainable, I mean, there's such freedom in that. So I just love that so much and agree. Even all the other things that are amazing, more energy, you lost weight, but just to find a way of eating that's sustainable is amazing. So love that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, for me, you know, that's a new thing for me. I grew up with a mother who I believe was also a sugar addict and was, you know, very, very obese most of my life. And, you know, just struggled the same way I did, you know, with eating emotionally, using processed foods, sugary foods, crunchy foods, whatever, to deal with the emotional, you know, problems and all of that. So I don't feel like I grew up around adults who, you know, had a normal or a healthy relationship to food, I should say. So I you know, I never knew what was right. And I actually remember when I kind of got to my goal weight, I was kind of like, so do I, what do I do now? Like, what am I going to think about? Like, if I'm not counting calories and thinking about, you know, meal prep and what I'm going to eat next and all of that, like, I'm not sure, you know, it just created all of this space in my mind where it's like, wow, I cannot believe how much food occupied my mind. So, yeah, so it was incredibly freeing for me. But I can go back to the, you know, the beginning. You know, as I said, I grew up with a, you know, a mother who was clearly a sugar addict, and you know, and so I am too. And I, you know, I saw, I did over my lifetime see like the negative effects of sugar and obesity and the disease that comes from eating this way. And so I didn't want that for myself, yet found myself on that same path. And my mother actually passed in early 2020. And, you know, I really just knew that this was, you know, this was next for me. So actually about 7 years ago is when I finally hit, you know, my breaking point. And I just was like, I got to deal with this, whatever it takes. And, you know, I started with a couple of different things, but I ended up doing keto because I had remembered, you know, from years before I had done low carb and it seemed to work okay. And I kind of liked the food. And, but this time it was like, wow, you know, it wasn't just weight loss that happened. I got so much more energy, you know, I had a lot less aches and pains. So many things happened in my body. There was so much healing that, you know, I was kind of like, I got to understand like where this comes from, why. And this was back in 2015. So it was actually before people even used the word keto. So I, you know, looked all over YouTube and found every scientific presentation where anybody was talking about, you know, low carb or carb restriction or anything like that. And I was just fascinated. And it took me on this journey of coming to understand how the, you know, the metabolism works, how the human body works, why we get fat, why we're able to lose it, and to understand more about these, about how these ways of eating actually impact our brain and everything. And I saw that what we're eating really is a global issue when you're looking at the whole body. You know, how I eat affects everything from my cognition to my mood to my physical body to pain. I mean, to every system in my body. And so, you know, once I saw all of these changes, I just decided to keep going. And I ended up losing 80 pounds on a keto diet, but I didn't quite get some of the healing that everybody else, that I heard other people talking about. You know, I heard about people like not having allergies and, you know, not having sinus trouble and stuff like that. And so I was kind of like, you know, so I always kind of kept my ear open for other approaches, other ways that people were doing this, different ways that people had achieved optimal health. And I kept hearing about people eating a carnivore, well, at the time they were calling it zero carb diet. And I, you know, it was a struggle to do that because I had, you know, for, I don't know, the last 20 years, like thought about, I made every attempt to eat a healthy diet and what I was told was healthy. And so, you know, I always tried to have my super vegetables and make sure I was having kale and garlic and all the things that I was told were really, you know, super healthy. And so to hear this concept of eating a diet that does not include vegetables, it was just kind of like, oh, that is crazy. But one day I finally decided to give it a try, and it was so transformative that on day two, I knew this is how I was gonna eat the rest of my life. I figured in the beginning that I was gonna cheat and fall off and I would, you know, eat junk and stuff like that from time to time, but I knew that this was always gonna be home base. And it was so, so comfortable and so, it's just life-giving for me. And yeah, it was just the best. So that was kind of my experience with it. And so I have been doing this now since December of 2017. And things have obviously changed and evolved a lot since, you know, since the beginning. I do it differently now than I did in the beginning. And, you know, and I expect that it will continue to evolve and grow as I evolve and grow. I just think that this way of eating has really been the, you know, the answer for specific problems that I have had in my life. And I love to share this way of life with other people and help other people to do it. I know that there's a, you know, now it's become more popular. So there's a lot of people out there talking and sometimes, you know, very restrictive about how they're doing it. And I feel like that's not really helpful. You know, I really want to help people to figure out how to implement this way of eating in their life so that it is sustainable for a lifetime, so that they can have lifetime healing, a lifetime reversal of disease, you know, lifetime off of medications. And what that looks like for each individual person is going to vary, and that there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you point that out, because yeah, mm-hmm. There's not one diet that fits everyone or one style of eating, you know, even for people that are sugar addicts and know they can't have sugar and flour, they're still, everyone has kind of different needs of what that looks like, you know, and what else they need to do. So I'm just like amazed, kind of going back to your story a little bit. Have a few questions. So once you were doing the keto for a while and feeling pretty good benefits, but then being like, oh, you know, I think I could feel even better. What was that kind of point when you were like, decided, you know, I'm just going to give this carnivore a try? Like, was there any, you know, moment or aha moment or whatever that you're like, I'm just going to do this? Because I do think it's really intimidating, even for me, you know, to think about, yeah, giving up all vegetables. Because yeah, so how did you make that transition of I'm just going to go for it and see how I feel?
Well, I had been hearing about it for years, so it wasn't a brand new concept. I mean, I feel like if I had heard about it in December 2017, I would not have tried that, you know, so I needed to be warmed up and to hear, you know, other people talk about how it was helpful for them. But actually, when I first started, I guess it was sort of a transition. So in my other life, I worked for years in the public sector. And I actually ran for city council in my community in 2017. And so that summer, I probably came as close to carnivore as I had ever been. One of my favorite meals to make in general, and when I was on keto, was to get like a bottle of like low carb spaghetti sauce, cook up, you know, 2 pounds of ground beef, mix it up, and then have that over you know, like over some vegetables or something like that. And at the beginning of the summer, I was kind of like, you know, I'm putting this over broccoli, but I don't want to eat the broccoli. So I just kind of ate bowls of that. And my brother was living with me for the summer, helping out on the campaign. And basically, we just bought this and ate this every day. and I don't think I was ever more perfect on my program than I was that summer, because, you know, the work of running for office is, I mean, it's incredibly physically draining. And so I knew that I couldn't, no matter how stressful a day I had, if I decided to, you know, have some ice cream or a donut, like that would knock me out for, you know, days. And I just didn't have days to spare, you know, feeling bad. So I was just super strict because I needed and I wanted to feel great every single day. So I do try to tell people during your most stressful times, you might think you want and need to have your chocolate and things then, but you actually might find that you feel way better when you're much more strict during your most difficult times. But to go on, I, at that time, by the end of the year, I ultimately didn't win the election, but I did, you know, I did very well, but I didn't win. And so a lot of things were changing in my life. And at the end of that year, I wanted to try to lose some more weight. And so I decided, I saw somebody talking about a beef and butter fast. So basically you eat like ground beef and butter and that's it. And so that's what I was trying. I don't know how, but that was where I ended up starting. So, and I don't know why, but I thought I couldn't have salt or any spices. So I was just having ground beef and unsalted butter and nothing else. And I did that one day and it was kind of like, you know, salt, I would love some salt, but okay, I'll do this. And day two, it was like, wow, you know, and it was very, very marked, the difference. I felt just so energetic and alive and great and light and strong, you know, it was like I went from 100 on keto thinking this is the best I can possibly feel. And I went to 1,000 and
on day two, wow. Like, this is crazy to me. It was the other part of your story that I was like, day two. And that was after just having the beef and butter, you know, so, and just on the second day. Wow.
Yeah. But I think the difference was, it was what I was not having. You know, so I have a lot of allergies and I also have a total problem with dairy. So once I took out dairy, and I don't really put butter in the dairy category, I seem to tolerate butter okay, but cheese and milk and sour cream and all that is a total problem. So, but I didn't know that. So I think at that time that I was doing this beef and butter fast, I had also removed, I mean, I also wasn't having dairy. I wasn't having any herbs and spices, which I noticed I do have some sensitivity to. I wasn't having any vegetables. And so all of that, I think, is what allowed me to feel fantastic.
But still, that's pretty immediate as far as, you know, your body telling you, yes, you're on the right track. I mean, that's like immediate feedback. Because sometimes it takes, even when you have all those allergies, it still might take a few days to get out of your system and really feel the difference. But day two, you must, to be that like, wow, you really knew, yep, this is it. Like, I'm on to something. So then how did that evolve from the beef and butter to like more, you know, so tell us, a little bit more about how that's evolved for you and more about what you eat. Cause I think so many people are really confused about that. And just like, you know, there's so much conflicting information out there too. It's so hard when you're looking up nutrition, because there's so many, you know, different theories out there, or something that will say one thing and something else that says exactly the opposite. So I think it's really confusing for people. And I want people that are interested in this, that this is resonating with them, to have an approach, like set them up for success, basically.
Yeah. Well, so I'll tell you, in the Black Carnivore community, the way I look at it and the way I sort of talk about it with people is we have three buckets. You can either be strict carnivore, moderate carnivore, or relaxed carnivore. So the strict category is only animal products, only foods that come from the animal kingdom. So eggs, beef, chicken, fish, you know, pork, you know, anything that was, you know, that lived and flew, swam, or walked. And that does include dairy, if dairy doesn't bother you. And then moderate carnivore would be, you also include coffee, herbs and spices, low sugar fruits like avocados and olives. Some people like cucumber, which is a low sugar fruit. And then we have relaxed carnivore, which also includes artificial sweeteners and a small amount of vegetables. So let's say you go out to dinner and your meal comes at the side and you eat it, or, you know, once or twice a week, you, I don't know, have a salad, or maybe you make a beef stew and your family's going to eat it. So you also put in peppers and onions and stuff like that. So, and that would fall in the relaxed carnivore category. And so I tell people, you know, it's up to you how you want to do this. You know, you don't get any prize for being more carnivore or less carnivore than anybody else. There's no card, there's no club, there's no dues, there's nothing. So it's up to you and what your goals are that determine what you're going to do. So if you have a lot of healing, if you're very sick, you know, obviously you want to stay more strict. If you have reached your goal and you're in maintenance and you're generally healthy, then you can be more relaxed. Or some people like to be strict 5 days a week and then relax on the weekends. Some people like to be strict for breakfast and relax for dinner. You know, it's kind of up to you how you want to split it up. And really, I think the thing that determines what you do is how you want to feel. So, you know, if you like coffee, but it upsets your stomach, you know, I don't know. It's up to you to decide like how often you're willing to walk around with an upset stomach and how often you want to feel good. And, you know, and some people do decide you know, I love my cream and my coffee and I'm not willing to give it up. So I'm willing to feel a little less well every day so that I can have that thing. And then other people decide, you know what, I really love how I feel when I don't include these things in my diet. And so I'm going to do it. So, you know, I stay on the strict end of the spectrum, but, you know, different people go in different places. And so, I do periodically have people come to me who are like, well, you're not eating raw, so that's not carnivore. Or, you know, you can eat hard cheese, but not soft cheese, so you're not eating carnivore. And I'm like, I don't even know where these rules come from. You know, I mean, really, the definition, if you look it up, you know, I don't know, in biological textbooks, the definition of a hypercarnivore is any animal that eats 70%, at least 70% of its total daily calories from the animal kingdom. So that leaves a lot of freedom in there. And, you know, so I tell people, you know, you're making this decision, you're figuring out your lifestyle for the rest of your life. So who cares what somebody else says? You just got to know what works right for you. And then, you know, let's figure out the path that gets you there.
Yeah, I love that. I love the bucket concept too. And the point, like, you know, you're not going to get like the best carnivore award, you know, like there's, you know, you're not, you really, it's all about finding what works for you, getting back to that concept of finding something that's sustainable for a lifetime. I mean, that really is the top prize, is something that you find that works for you. But like you said, you might need to tweak it here and there as you evolve and grow. And, you know, so you can tweak, but you still have this kind of general idea of what really works for you. I did not realize, see, I'm learning too, that dairy was considered carnivore. So that's interesting, you know, for people that can tolerate it. I'm like you, that I can do butter, but I really can't tolerate much other dairy. So, but that's probably interesting for people, again, thinking if it was just meat, you know, there are some other things. So, so how, when you work with people on this, how do you kind of approach like where people even get started? You know, again, if people are listening right now and it still feels a little overwhelming, like how do you suggest like, okay, this is how you get started, especially, and I'm thinking there's probably different ways, because if someone's been on a keto diet for a while, like you were, it's a little bit easier of a transition. Whereas if I'm a totally addicted to my sugar and flour and that, like, then how do I go from that to carnivore? I'm sure there's like, you know, different steps, but how do you kind of coach people around that?
Well, I feel like I don't see as many people who want to go straight from the standard American diet to carnivore. So most of the people that I come in contact with have done keto at some point. So they've already, you know, reoriented their mind to be willing to eat meat and feel like that can be a regular part of it. So that's the first thing. And I also... oh man, I just lost my train of thought. The other thing that I want to make sure, and a lot of the people that I work with, one of the questions I ask first is, are you in ketosis right now? And so most people are not when they're starting my 21-day carnivore challenge. So and to just explain that really quickly, I think, you know, 21 days is a good solid chunk of time to get, you know, to build a habit. And so I do a challenge every month. It's a private Facebook group where I provide support for people to just get that first 21 days done. And then, you know, then people are able to sort of implement this in their life, into their lifestyle, or continue on with the challenge if they need additional support. So the people that I work with, most are not in ketosis. So that first week is kind of them getting into ketosis, getting comfortable again, dealing with the electrolytes and all of that kind of stuff. So, you know, so that is a challenge, but it, you know, it's, you got to go through it anyway. And I would definitely say that 80% of the people in my challenge, or 80% of the people I work with, are also sugar addicts. Very few of them have like been formally engaged with the addiction world. So some people have been to OA and stuff like that. But most of them, you know, will say, I'm a sugar addict. I cannot control myself around sugar. And they recognize that it's a massive problem, but they're not, you know, they haven't tried to treat it or address it through the addiction lens.
Yeah, that makes sense. So when you, I love that you have this, and I'll make sure we link this 21-day carnivore challenge for people to sign up if that sounds like they're interested, because it is nice to have that support during it. And so, yes, I'm curious of what that first, like you again, day two felt fantastic, but what do you find more often for people, like what that first few days especially might look like? Because I know, you know, when I gave up sugar and flour, it was, you know, pretty ugly for a while. You know, so I'm curious what it looks like for people, or even people that go keto, you know, talk about the keto flu at first, like you can feel pretty crummy those first few days. So what do you find with your groups?
Yeah, I do remember that when I first went keto in 2015, I, you know, before then, like I was like full on eating tons of sugar, candy, donuts, whatever, every day. And so when I first, you know, made that switch, I mean, that first week at work was so hard. And I would, by 3 in the afternoon, I would just be sitting in my chair with my arms clutching the armrest, just kind of rocking, like, I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. And I was just like, I, every other second, like, I would be thinking about M&Ms. Let me just get some M&Ms. And I remember it took about, I felt like it took a long time, but it took about 6 weeks. And then one day I was like, wow, I haven't thought about M&Ms since, you know, for a couple of days. And that was like miraculous for me. And now looking back, I think that, you know, it wasn't until I got keto adapted that I stopped having these cravings. But now that I know more about how you get into ketosis and what that process is, I think that that time period could be shorter. So if I had known better, you know, some of the things that you do in the beginning, it wouldn't have had to be that long. But, you know, I powered through and I came out on the other side, and it was amazing. So,
and how did you power through? For people listening that are like, yes, that happens to me whenever I try and I give up and eat the M&Ms because it's too hard. Like what, you know, what were some techniques that helped you like get through and get to the other side?
Well, I didn't watch TV. I didn't allow myself to see any pictures of food or food that I didn't want to eat. I did spend a lot of time on Pinterest when I was at home looking up like keto recipes. I also looked at before and after pictures, and I spent a lot of time looking at before and after pictures. That helped. I took pictures of myself every single day, and I would make a collage every day so I could look from day to day, you know, or week to week to see, you know, my own progress. I think the TV thing and the commercial thing was like a game changer for me. I also worked in an office that was very foodie, and, you know, a lot of people would bring in, you know, one of the women would bring, find out everyone's favorite donut, and then like once or twice a week, bring in a dozen donuts with two of each person's favorite. I was like, this woman has to die. So I many times slammed the door in my office and just told people, get away. I don't want to talk to you. Stay away. I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to see it. I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to smell it. Nothing.
Don't want to smell it. Yeah. Like all the senses. Yeah.
So people were, yes, people thought I was incredibly rude and were very upset. And I just was like, I can't care about your feelings. I can only care about mine and my health right now. And then over time, people saw me lose weight, and then they were like, oh, okay, all right, no problem. And then the office, they used to get a cake for everybody's birthday. And when my birthday rolled around, they got a, you know, one of those edible arrangements with fruit and stuff. Still not keto, but they were trying, you know, and I really appreciated that effort. And I just thought really thoughtful. So in the beginning, that was what I did. I isolated myself. I refused to, you know, I really had to take away the visual stimuli. You know, I stopped having like cash around where, you know, I could do things like that. I didn't, you know, talk to people. And, you know, I took I did chew a lot of gum, which I now in retrospect, I think extended the cravings, but that was something I did when I felt like I just couldn't go another second. I also took L-glutamine, which can be really helpful, I think, for people who are dealing with cravings. You know, it's another fuel source for your brain. So if you're feeling like all the cravings and all that, you know, it can calm some of that physical stuff down. So yeah, that was some of what I did. But anyway, when I went from keto to carnivore, I was already in ketosis. So I didn't have, you know, I didn't have all that sugar withdrawal that was going on. And I had better handle on my electrolytes. So that wasn't also going on. But I think in, you know, retrospect, you know, now I have better understanding of how to maintain your electrolytes, so that isn't a problem in the beginning, and how to give your body extra energy in the beginning. So now I tell people, some people take, you know, exogenous ketones. That can be very helpful in the beginning. And I'm not, you know, opposed to finding the right tools to help you go forward. Some people, you know, like just eat extra butter, which helps produce more ketones and can make you feel more energetic and calms the brain. Some people, you know, just make a package of bacon and just nibble on it all day long. I don't want you to do that forever. You know, don't snack forever. But for the first 2 weeks, you know, cut yourself a break. You know, this is a massive thing that's going on inside your body, and you just need these things. The bacon can also give you, it gives you fat, and it also gives you a lot of salt. So that can really be helpful in, with the things that are challenging in the beginning. So, so for me, that transition into carnivore, I think wasn't as difficult as it is for some other people. Although, I was doing, again, some of the things that I think that, we shouldn't do. You know, when I was looking on Instagram, I mean, part of the reason I went on Instagram at all was that when I started this, I was like, I don't understand what I'm supposed to eat. You know, when I was growing up, my grandmother would say, okay, you need to eat a meat, a starch, and a vegetable, and that's what your plate should look like. And so I'm like, if I'm only eating meat, what do I replace the starch and the vegetable with? And I was like, do I need two other meats and make two other sides? That seems like a lot to cook. I don't really think I want to do all that. And so I was like, I just got to see what other people are doing. And so I went on Instagram and I, you know, looked for people. There weren't that many people, but I looked. And then I started to post all my meals so that, you know, if anybody else was out there asking the same question, they would be able to come to my account and see, you know, see what I had to say or what I was posting. So that was, you know, super, super helpful for me. And, you know, and I evolved over time. I certainly, in the beginning, I wasn't, you know, I didn't grow up being taught to cook or, you know, any of like the kitchen arts or home economics. So I've had to figure all this stuff out myself. So I really had to teach myself how to cook, to understand, you know, and I think when you like, you know, everybody had like the Joy of Cooking recipe, you know, cookbook. And it's like, that's sort of a collection of recipes where you're mixing together different kinds of carby things and vegetables. But cooking meat is, you know, it's a different kind of art. Like you have to understand what, you know, meat and salt and heat and fat do together and, you know, to make something good. And so that was something that I had to really decide to, you know, to dig into and try to understand how to make a roast, how to make a steak, and what makes a hamburger good and what makes a hamburger bad. And I think a hamburger is actually incredibly complicated and difficult to do. And a lot of people mess it up, and it's some very basic things that you can do to make a juicy, delicious burger. So, you know, those are, I think, you know, some of the things that need to happen in the beginning. And so if you have real questions about getting started, I do have a playlist on my YouTube channel, and it's called Start Here. And I have two videos in there. One is, you know, basically just walks you through, like, here's what to buy at the grocery store. You know, here's what to eat, here's what's allowed. And then the other one is called Common Problems, Common Solutions. And it's like, you know, there's a few like top problems that people have every time with carnivore. And so that video really addresses those things and helps you, you know, sort of troubleshoot. Now, you know, people come to this with all kinds of disease or problems or whatever. So there are going to be some things that are unique, and that's when you want to seek out actual help from someone. So, you know, feel free to go to my website, blackcarnivore.com. There you can, you know, find out more about me. You can also go to the, so I have, you can go to my challenge page, blackcarnivore.com/challenge to sign up for the challenge. But I also have a link there where you can schedule time to talk with me about, you know, further coaching. So I do have a customized program that helps people with more accountability, you know, more long-term, you know, people who need more long-term support or more intensive support in the beginning, like people who are really struggling, you know, in that sugar abyss, or who have like special, you know, health concerns that that make them want more guided guidance in the beginning. So that's something that you that, you know, if you're listening, that you can do to get some support. And, you know, and just take it easy. I mean, you know, this, while it does sound complicated, I, you know, from my studies, this is how humans have been eating or had been eating for, you know, 100,000 years. So this is not rocket science. This should not be hard. It doesn't need to, you know, there's not really much to do. You know, you eat delicious fatty meat and then you stop when you're full and then you eat again the next time you're hungry. And that's kind of it, you know. So don't make it too complicated. But listen to your body too. That's the thing that I love best about this way of eating. I feel like when you eat sugar, it's so loud and so staticky that it drowns out every other sound and every other sense. And so when you eat sugar, you can't hear any of the other signals that your body is sending you. But once you take it out, you discover, oh my God, my body's been talking to me forever. And it's been telling me all of these things, you know, from pain to fullness, to satisfaction, to happiness, to sadness, whatever it is, you know. I think a lot of times we live in our heads and we forget that our heads are physically part of our bodies. You know, our brain is a physical structure in the body. And so even though these things are happening in the head, they're also happening in your body. And when you feel like you're depressed or sad, you know, you might also want to look at your physical body and whether some of these things are actually being happening or being generated because there's something going on in your body that needs to be addressed. So yeah, so I don't know, that's kind of the way I look at it. And that was a lot, just threw a lot at you.
No, that was so good and such good resources for people that are interested. I love the YouTube, like start here just for more information. I wanna back up just a little bit. For people, can you just kind of give us a general definition of what ketosis looks like in case people are listening, and because that gets thrown around a lot. And what does it mean to be in ketosis?
Well, the way I talk about it, it means when you're burning fat for energy rather than sugar. So the humans have, you know, two fuel sources, sugar or fat, but we can't do both. It's either one or the other. And when you're young and, you know, still not very damaged, our metabolisms are pretty flexible. And so you can go from burning sugar to burning fat pretty seamlessly, you know. So kids might eat dessert after dinner and wake up and be in ketosis. But, you know, by the time you're my age, you've been, you know, living on sugar for decades. And so your body is not that nimble anymore. And maybe you will regain that level of flexibility after, you know, some years of healing, but maybe not, I don't know. But it, at any event, you, in that initial period where you're going from burning sugar for energy to burning fat, you have to basically run down all the sugar, you know, get to zero and then start ramping up on burning fat. And so that period of time where you're running low on sugar and you don't yet have enough fat, you are legitimately in an energy crisis. So your body does not have enough calories, you know, to do its basic operations. And so what you're going to get a whole lot of cravings because it wants you to go get food. It wants you to get sugar because that's a fast and quick source of energy that you've been using. So in the beginning, you're going to have tons of cravings. There's just no way around that. But I tell people, don't add to that by also being hungry. You know, so I see people who want to start keto and they start with fasting, and it's like, that's just harder because you are adding on more, you know, more of this energy crisis. Or they, you know, try to also add on like a really rigorous workout regimen. And again, that's just adding more on top of, you know, more challenge because you're now working out, which is drawing more energy that your body doesn't have. But, you know, people do it and they get through it. So, but if you're having trouble, don't do that. You know, just take it easy, eat lots of fat, eat enough. And, you know, and just know that those cravings are, they're going to go away and they're going to calm down. You know, the sugar withdrawal thing, I mean, that's a real thing too. You know, but again, there's no way out of that, but, you know, through it and come out on the other side. And then don't go back. That's the thing that I think really trips people up. I have so many people are like, oh my God, I did this. I felt great. I lost 50 pounds. You know, I was like working out and everything was going great. And then, you know, I went on this trip and I thought, well, you know, it's vacation. I'll have a little of this, a little of that. And then 6 months later, they're still face down in a tub of ice cream. And they're only starting to come out at that point. And, you know, they've regained all the weight, maybe more. And they're just like, I don't understand. Like I said, I was going to have a little bit and then I was going to get right back on it. And then, you know, and so for those people, I try to remind them, and I am the same way. And that was ultimately why I stopped cheating. It was that, you know, I thought, well, I can have a little cheat and then I'll get back on it tomorrow. But, you know, that one taste led to, well, since I'm already, you know, out of ketosis, I have been, you know, thinking about all these two, you know, delicious things to eat. Let me go get all of those things and then it'll be all out of my system and then I'll get started. And next thing I know, it's been 3 weeks and I'm still, you know, trying to have the, you know, all the things that I thought I was missing. So I finally accepted for myself that no matter what, and it, you know, and sometimes it takes longer, sometimes it doesn't, but no matter what, one bite, the next, I will always end up face down in a chocolate cake. And so if that's always where it ends, then there's no point in having that first bite. And so that was ultimately for me how it ended up stopping. And I try to help other people see that too. Like, you know, if this is what always happens, you know, then it don't, you know, you just can't have that bite.
Exactly. And that's how I am too. Mm-hmm. And I know other people, you know, are able to find a way to eat in moderation and not, you know, but that you just, again, have to be true to what, look at what's true for you. You know, and what's, and all of us are different. So that's where that little bit of experimentation, and instead of beating yourself up, it's like, yeah, well, that didn't work. I'm going to have to, you know, that I can't do the one bite, you know, but I think that's the thing, is that we beat ourselves up so much and don't realize that that's just how addiction works for people. So, you know, it doesn't matter your willpower. If you have that one, but you know, it's just, it's too strong. So, how long do you find it takes people, on average, would you say, with a ketosis? Like, because I think people like to just prepare themselves. Like for me too, like I gave myself, when I gave up sugar and flour, I was like, I'm probably gonna feel like crap for a full year. Like I just wanted to give myself, you know, prepare myself so that I was in the right mindset. So for people kind of, you know, maybe starting doing your carnivore 21-day challenge, what do you find, you know, is the, and I know it's different from everybody, but what would you say kind of average that people are really dealing with those cravings for, like what amount of time?
Well, it really only takes a couple of days, unless you're very ill, like, you know, inside of 7 days, most people are in ketosis, but you know, there's a difference between being in it and your body being really good at it, you know? Mm-hmm. So in the beginning, your body may not be very good at turning the fat that you're eating into ketones and using the ketones. So you still have this energy, a shortage of energy, I should say. So the the adaptation phase can last as long as 8 weeks, but the cravings, you know, they're worse in those first couple of days, and every single day they're going to be physically, they're going to be less intense and less strong. So I think, you know, once you get through the first couple of days to a week, you know, things are going to get easier. But, you know, that's the physical part of it. You know, the mental part of your connection to sugar and flour and all of that, you know, that's another thing altogether. But one thing that I really like about carnivore is that it is also incredibly healing on the brain. And so I feel like it gives you that little bit of space between, you know, whatever the triggering event is and your feet starting to move towards the chocolate. And so in that little space, you can make a decision. Do I want to handle the situation with this food, with this item, or do I want to handle it a different way? And I feel like when you're in the, you know, in your drug food, in your sugar, in your carbs, there's no space for that thought to happen. But on carnivore, there is. And, you know, and so, sorry about this in New York. I don't know if you can hear that.
That's okay.
But, you know, you just need to give yourself that space and time, and carnivore can do that for you. But, you know, I do tell people, like, I think that this diet is very healthy. It is an optimal human diet. I think this is what humans ate, you know, for, millennia, but it solves a lot of problems, but it doesn't solve every problem, but it gives you the space and the room to start using all the other tools, you know, the cognitive behavioral therapy, or, you know, whatever your talk therapy is, or any of that other stuff. It allows you to be, you know, quote unquote, sober and off your drug so that you can actually think straight. And yeah.
And I appreciate you saying that, because we've been the last few episodes have been really focused around, yes, giving up the sugar and flour is just a small part of the journey. There's so much inner work then that goes beyond that, as far as, yeah, finding those triggers in the first place and replacing habits and really digging into the limiting beliefs, the value, all the things around food that's so complicated. And everyone, again, that journey looks a little bit different for everybody. But I think it's really impossible to dig into that until it is out of your system, you know, and that's what you're kind of saying with the carnivore diet, such an optimum diet. It might, yeah, just get you in that headspace quicker, you know, where you're able to pause. Because when you're having the sugar, there is no pause, you know, that's just like impossible. So it just kind of gets you in that right space. Well, I'm just curious, and I know a lot of people are wondering this too. We're almost out of time, but I'm curious of, I'm sure people are like, what do you eat in a day? You know, and again, I'm sure that differs day to day, but can you kind of just give us like what a average day might look like for you?
Mm-hmm. Well, I encourage you to check out my Instagram channel, because I try to take a picture of my food every day.
Oh, great.
I've been a little lax lately, so it's not every day, but most meals, you know, I get something up there. And, but right now I don't know why, but in a ground beef and butter phase. So it's like where I began. And so basically, you know, I just in a pan, fry up some ground beef and make like ground beef crumbles and, you know, with butter on it and salt. It's delicious. I don't know. It's really hitting the spot, and I haven't gotten bored of it yet. So I just will keep going with that until I do decide I'm bored with it.
For breakfast, lunch, and dinner, or however, like you're saying, sometimes it's just you're eating and not necessarily structured meal times, but just whenever you're hungry again. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm usually eat around two meals a day, and I'm trying to do one meal a day. So it's not breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It's just kind of like whenever I decide I'm hungry or have time or fits for my schedule.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's, yeah, really good for people. Like that's pretty simple when you're thinking of, you know, I even liked how you said you're not really, weren't much of a cook. You had to really teach yourself that, you know, but it's really overwhelming to cook three big meals a day. But if you're just cooking some ground beef and butter, I mean, that really is simple as far as cooking for people that aren't like, I'm not a cook myself either. I had to teach myself. And yeah, that's pretty mm-hmm. basic though, when you can eat.
Well, if you really want to get basic, if you, again, go to my website, blackcarnivore.com, I have a download, a free download for 3 days of a carnivore meal plan. So, and it's the air fryer edition. So every recipe is made in the air fryer, and it is super easy and simple. You know, I don't like a whole lot of complicated stuff. I do see people making carnivore like bread and carnivore, all these like complicated things. So I don't really do that, but this is a simple way to try it for 3 days. And, you know, takes like no more than 15, 20 minutes to cook anything in the air fryer.
I love this so much. This has been such a good conversation. I'm sure people are getting so much out of this. And I know you mentioned your website and Instagram. We'll make sure we link that below so that people can get in touch with you. I'm definitely going to be looking at your Instagram meals. I'll be curious. But is there anything else that maybe we did not get to today that you wanted to mention, or just any last words of advice for, like, just takeaway for listeners today?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the population, I think that the population that I deal with is a little older. You know, we've struggled for a long time doing all the crazy diets. And now I think that we are really kind of more focused on health and healing. And the weight loss is also part of that, but it's not necessarily the driver anymore. And I really like that, because, you know, we still have, you know, I'm 50, we still have so much to give the world. But if we're so consumed with our physical health and well-being, if we don't have the, you know, the ability and the stamina to actually do whatever we were born to do, you know, we're really robbing the world of all of our wonderfulness. So I hope that everybody listening to this decides to, you know, find the path that's going to help you get to the point where you can really be your fullest self. And for some of you, you know, carnivore is going to be the way. And, you know, jump in, the water's fine. It is, you know, it's a good way to go. And you don't have to commit to it forever. Just do it. If you feel better, great. If you don't, move on.
Yeah, it can't hurt to try it, because that might be the thing that you've been looking for, you know. And I have to say, it just happens to be, when we're recording this, International Women's Day. And it just makes me think, as you mentioned before, like how much you realize how much your thoughts were focused on food. How much time and energy have you wasted in your life on food? And I felt that same way. Like, if I talk about my number one benefit, I mean, I had a significant weight loss too, but that's like way down the list. It's just the mental freedom that I have to do the things I was born to do, to share my gifts with the world. And I just think, especially, you know, and I know this affects men too, but especially for women, just think of how many women out there are spending all that time and energy on food and what to eat, not to eat, the diet, and just how much more we could be offering the world if that was, you know, like just eliminated and got out of that diet culture that we're stuck in. So it's just something that I've been thinking about a lot lately. And I just know from my own personal experience and hearing yours too, it's just like, just the freedom that there is in that, and how much more we can be doing, being free from those thoughts. You know, I just feel like, gosh, how did I even get through a day before with how much time I wasted thinking about this stuff? So it's just such a life-changing experience when you make that shift.
So, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. This has been amazing. And we'll link your information, and just thank you again.
Thanks for having me. Have a great one.
Thank you so much for listening. Have a great day. And remember, life is so much sweeter without sugar.